I needed to not skate by for once in my life, and they didn't let me.
At the end of the day, if you know that you don't feel good about the job, you got to be able to leave that behind.
They just kept asking me to come back, and I truly love Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin.
It's always great to be at WTMJ.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Sometimes people make mistakes that not only end with legal repercussions, but because of media coverage, headlines have an impact that lasts long after news coverage ends. Our friends at TMJ4 have established an initiative helping people who have changed their lives for the better. Today, we're going to move forward with TMJ anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher. Shannon, first of all, you've been with TMJ for now quite a few years.
It will be 11 years at the end of this month.
And you're now anchoring two newscasts.
Yes. It's Milwaukee Tonight at 6:30 and, of course, the 10 o'clock newscast.
And Tim, you've been with TMJ for a number of years.
Coming up on 5 years total, and then the last 3.5 as news director.
In the years that you've been in the business, and Shannon, I'm going to direct this to you, how has news coverage changed, particularly in the digital age?
I think that in the digital age, we have seen the sense of immediacy to news coverage. Whether we've had a moment to fact check or see all sides, we've seen with people having cell phones in their hands, with more citizen journalists out in the streets, information is coming and going at a much faster rate than it was, say, 20 years ago.
Do you find yourself under pressure to get the story on the air fast?
I think the pressure is not to get it on the air fast. It's always to get it correct, and it's always to make sure that what we're reporting is factual, right? So I know that a lot of times it was that sense of urgency. We just got to get it on. We got to get it on. But I think the culture at TMJ4 is get it on, but get it on right.
Okay. And Tim, would you agree then?
Yeah, for sure. I would hate to be the one who gets it out first, but has it wrong. So do we want to break the story? Do we want to beat the competition by having it first? Absolutely. But that can't come at the expense of the accuracy of the story. So Shannon said it very well.
And I think, too, you would agree with this, Tim, is that also having been in the field and me having been on the streets is that, yes, there's that adrenaline rush that comes when breaking news comes through. But again, sometimes you have to backpedal that adrenaline to, again, making sure, do we have at least 2 to 3 sources? Are your sources good? And if nothing else, are you going to put your neck out for the source that's telling you that information? Because again, if it's wrong, yep, it's my face, my words that has to go right back on air and say, we got something wrong. And then I got to deal with Tim in the office.
And I would think, it too, as you said, there's a lot of citizen journalists out there.
Uh-huh.
They've got their cell phones. They've got their police radios, and they're constantly checking things. How often do you get tips from those sources? I would think it must happen constantly.
Oh, yeah. As we're sitting here talking, I bet my phone will buzz multiple times from either a Facebook message or a message sent to us through X or Instagram. We get quite a bit of sometimes just information, sometimes actual user-generated content, like a video clip or an image of some sort. So very regularly. And we solicit it. I mean, you'll see it on our airwaves promotional spots that air during our commercial breaks, where we solicit, if you see news, if you have ideas for coverage, please message us through Facebook, send us a text, that kind of thing. So yeah, we encourage it and we receive quite a bit.
When you get those tips, what goes into the decision of whether or not you're going to air it?
Oh gosh.
Oh, I think there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, what's the source? What's the intention of why this information is coming through, right? So a lot of times when we do get tips, there could be motivation, you know? And so since we're not connected always to the motivation of the tip, we can take an approach of, okay, let's A, B, C about this. How do we go to make sure that this person is not just trying to railroad someone, but rather really trying to show us some information that we can then hold someone accountable for? And I think that's very important. We kind of walk those steps out, kind of talk it out. And sometimes it's not always talking. Sometimes it's a very firm conversation in the room. But I think it's important to have those conversations because when you have diverse voices at the table, you get different perspectives. And a lot of times we have blind spots. We have implicit biases that play into our decision making. And so it's great to be able to be in a newsroom where we have different voices of opinion, different voices from different life experiences as those tips are coming in to help us see how we need to navigate to see whether or not we go forward with it.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
You have to have a cornucopia, I would say, of information, of news gathering so that the viewer feels full at the end of the newscast.
TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher talk about how watching news could be like eating a meal.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher from TMJ4. How many hours a day are there newscasts on TMJ4?
From 5 o'clock in the morning through Shannon's newscast, 10 o'clock at night. So 7+ hours every single day.
That's a lot of content to fill.
It absolutely is, yeah.
And making those decisions, because obviously you want to be fresh. You don't want to run the same story with the same angle over and over and over again. How do you then determine which stories are going to make the air?
Well, we have an editorial process, like any journalistic outlet does, to get that content out in front of people, in front of eyeballs. And we triage a lot of the information. It could be breaking news that we move on quickly. It could be information that needs more vetting and more checking, sourcing, to Shannon's point earlier. So that information may go to our specialty reporting unit, and they may take days, if not weeks, to flesh out what that story or that tip might be.
I would imagine there are some stories that are easier to determine. This has to hit the air sooner rather than later. Than others.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think the definition of news is what's happening now, what impacts people, and the just interesting things of life. When we decide on what to put in our newscast, you have to have a cornucopia, I would say, of information, of news gathering so that the viewer feels full at the end of the newscast.
So it's almost like a meal.
Hey, it's a buffet sometimes.
Yeah.
Get your appetizer, your soup, salad, main course,
That's
and dessert.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, to that point, we have certain criteria that we want every one of our newscasts to have. We want to have the news of the day, whatever's happening in that day's news cycle, we want to make sure we're covering it, right? So it's kind of the price of admission for any television station or radio station. When somebody tunes into your channel, they want to know what's going on in that day. But separate from that, we also want to provide some original content, stories that you'll only see on TMJ4, as again, another reason to watch TMJ4. So those are just a couple of the ingredients that we put into any one particular newscast. And it depends on the day part. Like the stories that may go into Shannon's newscast may be very different from what we put into our 6A newscast. So there's a whole variety of criteria that we look at on any given day.
That's kind of interesting. We're depending on the time of day. You decide what kinds of stories will air. Give us an example.
Well, I would think that someone waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning is trying to figure out what the weather is going to be. What are some of just the top stories of the day, just of interest? And then, you know, is there news that you can use? But by the middle of the day, things have happened, right? And the person who may be listening at 5 o'clock or at 6 o'clock has had a full day. And yes, they want a little bit of what happened today, but they also may just want some, you know what, I want something that makes me feel good and interesting. And then for like the newscast, one of the newscasts that I host, Milwaukee Tonight. As we say, nothing negative happens in Milwaukee Tonight. It's really a love letter to the city to showcase some of the most interesting things happening in our city, some of the most interesting people in our city, and things you need to know about so that you can do some interesting things. So that's a different formula altogether. So when he says we serve different things at different times of the day, it's because our viewers are different at different times of the day.
Why is it important to have a segment that is going to be strictly positive in terms of featuring people that are interesting and that have a feel-good kind of story with them?
Well, I would say, why do you like chocolate? Why do you like to laugh? It's necessary for humanity to be able to feel good, right? Those endorphins that go off in us that make us want to do anything, be anything, and know that we're alive. So I think that's why it's important to have positive news throughout your newscast, because at some point of the day, you want to pick me up. And we want to provide that to you throughout every newscast. But we also want to show you in one specific newscast, take a breath and enjoy. And I think everybody wants to do that.
What kind of feedback do you get from the community when you air those kinds of stories, Tim?
For that show in particular, we get wonderful feedback. So that show is a very strategic decision to have it be the way it is, as Shannon described, because we've been on the air at that point essentially from 4 o'clock up until 6:30. So we've given viewers at that point 2 hours of news, fairly serious, fairly hard-hitting. So we want to end that 4 to 7 news block on a high note. And that's what Milwaukee Tonight is. So when you're talking about hidden gems from Cassandra McShepherd that she highlights so well, and James Groh, who's one of our feature reporters and just such an incredibly talented storyteller, his content is featured in Milwaukee Tonight.
And his antics.
And his antics. He's a personality. He's really good when it comes to celebrating the uniqueness of our communities that we serve. As it relates to Milwaukee Tonight, we get tremendous feedback, and I'm super proud of what that show is and has become, and it's becoming something new under Shannon. She's new as the host of that program as of, what, just a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, and I think it's intergenerational, too. I think that the folks that we have on that show showing you the spaces and places of Milwaukee represent a diverse, wide group of folks in Milwaukee to make it relatable.
Do you determine what stories go on?
That I will say no. I contribute, but I have a wonderful producer who has been on the show for a number of years. And so I am sliding in. Of course, I give some hints and some suggestions, but for the most part, the producer is in control.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I'm just the conductor that leads it through that 30 minutes.
TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher talk about who makes newsroom decisions.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher. Let's share the background then, because I think a lot of people think when they turn on the TV, well, that's Shannon Sims. She decided what this story is going to be in a TV newsroom. What's the hierarchy?
News director, and then essentially assistant news director in our newsroom. It's a little different. We have basically co-assistant news directors, editorial director, who's in charge of all things content. Her name is Nicole. And then our other co-assistant news director, it's called broadcast director. His name is Chad DeQuisto. He's in charge of presentation. So that's how we kind of divide it up. So when you ask what decisions lead to the stories that end up in Milwaukee Tonight, they kind of are out of that content hierarchy, if you will, of Nicole as editorial director. And then under her is managing editor, and then a variety of reporters who pitch stories and are a part of the process of ultimately what ends up in her show at 6:30, or in any newscast for that matter.
I would say that we are definitely leading towards a more reporter-driven newsroom. So a lot of the content that is in Milwaukee Tonight is driven by our two correspondents, reporters, James Groh and Cassandra McShepherd, Rod Burks, who does a segment on We're Open. And then we may get, you know, some trickling in from some of our other community reporters in the newsroom. So they're adding to this, but how that all shapes out is the producer who decides where the show is going. And I'm just the conductor that leads it through that 30 minutes.
The reason I wanted to get you here today, and not just to talk about news and the way TMJ4 handles it, is you have a very interesting initiative. And I understand this is Scripps-wide because Scripps owns TMJ4.
Correct.
And a number of other TV stations throughout the country, where they are looking back at some stories that have run in the past that maybe lives have changed. Let's go into that. Let's explain exactly what moving forward is and how the decision was made that this was a good idea for the community.
Well, I suspect, Libby, that TMJ4 is not unlike any other station that receives these kinds of requests. I mean, I get all sorts of requests, and occasionally those requests are, hey, you profiled me on such and such a date. I'm wondering if you might be willing to remove it or change it in a way that, you know, they're seeking. And for the first year or so that I became news director, I honestly didn't really know how to handle those requests. There wasn't a blueprint given to me on what to do. So essentially, the digital director at TMJ4 James Kust and myself would kind of just make a decision. Is this a request we want to honor or not?
And what kind of requests were you getting? Without mentioning names or specifics, but what were some of the kinds of stories that people said, could you remove this from the archives?
Oh, gosh. Various criminal convictions that people had experienced that we reported on. And it could be as simple as, I want my name completely scrubbed from your website or any of your platforms completely. Some of the requests were also, you know, I was a person on the street interviewed for my opinion on, you know, the president's opinion or stance on this particular issue. I no longer want my name associated with this story. Would you be willing to take my name out?
Or, so it wasn't even quote. It wasn't even necessarily that somebody committed a crime or was accused of a crime and maybe exonerated. And these are just regular people who'd said, I don't want to be associated with this newscast anymore.
And kind of this heightened political climate that we live in, if we were doing a story that was maybe political in nature and we were just soliciting a variety of voices or opinions on a particular story and somebody was interviewed for that story, gave us their opinion, but then several months go by and when they are Googled, the story comes up and they say, I don't want that. I agreed to it at the time, but I didn't realize it was going to live on the internet for months, if not years, and I would like you to remove that. So those are the kinds of requests that would trickle in. Not a ton. I mean, I would say we get, even now, to this day, probably a handful a month. So it's not very many, but it's important that we handle them responsibly.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Back in the day, you had to go to the library to go and look in the card catalog or the microfiche to see a past article and to get caught up.
Anchor Shannon Sims and News Director Tim Vetcher from TMJ4 talk about how news headlines don't go away in the digital age.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guests today are TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher. It's interesting when you said somebody will Google their own name and something will come up and they'll look and think, I didn't know that was out there. When you both started in news, that wasn't a factor.
Well, I mean, we're going to age ourselves, but I was thinking about this as we were coming into the studio. You know, back in the day, with air quotes, you had to go to the library to go and look in the card catalog or the microfiche to see a past article and to get caught up. We're not erasing history here. I think that it lives on, but we do know that with the internet, your information is a Google entry away, right? And if it's been posted, it lives forever. But we know that people change, times change. We are definitely in a cancel culture. So we understood, I believe, when we took on this initiative, that there was some need for compassion, but it also had to have guidelines. They had to provide documentation, and it had to be something that I remember one incident where someone was asking to be removed and they were making the claim that they were being threatened, that, you know, harm was coming to them. And so as the group that is given these requests, and it is a diverse group of my peers within the news station, not just in the newsroom, but in the station, and we're having the dialogue, we're asking for information. Can you provide documentation that you've been threatened or that you've had to call the police due to this article being posted? And if that person can give us that information, or we need further conversation with you, it's not just, can you take this off? I sold my house, or I'm trying to sell my house now, but you came to us with this information, and now you can't sell your house because if anybody looks it up, they'll see that this house has a connection. We had to have a conversation about that, you know. So we get some really interesting requests. Most of them, again, are not criminal in nature, but again, we have strict guidelines. We're not changing anything or taking anything down that is connected to a felony offense.
Tell us about these meetings. Let's say, because on your website, you've got a form that people in the community can fill out if they've been the subject of a news story or if they've been quoted in some way, indicating, can you please remove this from the archives? Mm-hmm. So you get that request. What happens once that request comes in?
Well, once the request is sent over to us, this team of folks within the newsroom, you know, I kind of send out an email to gather, take a look at the request that has been made. What comments and questions do you have? And then we gather to discuss what are the comments and questions. Sometimes it's an easy yay, nay. we need more information. And even when it's we need more information, we get that information, it may be something where we say, you know what, this is a situation where it really has to be at the discretion of management. We've done this, we've asked for this. What do you think? Because we're at a deadlock.
How many people are on this committee?
It's about 8 of us.
Does it change from time to time, or is it the same 8 people all the time?
Well, it has changed because it's a part of our EDI team. But for the most part, it is that team that is a part of this.
And what exactly is the process? I mean, you've got the information there. And like you said, sometimes it's an easy yes or no. What would be an example of that?
Someone says, again, we talk about politics. Someone has solicited the television station for their opinion to be voiced on our station, and now they want it to be taken down. Well, it wasn't just a, we saw you on the street, we asked you a question, we put the mic in your face, and now it was, you solicited us, this was how you felt, and this is the why. And so that conversation is had between the group. It's not dependent upon me. It is literally a democracy. Okay, guys, who says this? How do you feel? Let's vote. And the decision is made. And then we'd give the decision back to our digital
director. So it's not necessarily automatic.
No, it's always a discussion.
I like the way you raised your eyebrows. What do you mean it's always a discussion?
Because I am the leader of that group. So I want to make sure that everyone is heard. No matter what my opinion may be, I'm going to ask these questions, and I want other people. And I might have a blind spot, and I want someone else to help me see that blind spot. And so that's why I say it's always a discussion. I want the floor to be open, and I want people to feel safe to have that conversation on how do we move forward, no pun intended, to making a decision on this person's request.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
What if you were a young child who was in an Amber Alert? Do you want that to be something that someone could say, you were missing in 2024? Yeah. What happened to you? What were you doing?
TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher talk about moving forward.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher. What are some of the other reasons? You mentioned the political solicitation in some cases, the man on the street kind of interview. But what are some of the other issues that you will have people come to you? Obviously, if you robbed a bank 15 years ago and it's still out there.
No.
That's an automatic no.
I mean, but that's like way on the other end of the spectrum. I think a lot of it has to do with people who are looking or having issues of trying to get hired.
Right. I think Shannon said it well earlier. This is not an attempt to erase history. WTMJ television has been around for 75 years. When you're around that long, one of the really great byproducts is you have this awesome archive of history in Southeast Wisconsin that we can tap into. So by no means do we want to in any way change that. Our archives are a tremendous resource for not only us in our current day reporting, but we get requests, all sorts of requests from documentary filmmakers to anybody who wants to access either the information or the video or audio that is contained in our archives. So we don't want to do anything that would, again, to quote Shannon, erase history. That's not what this is. But we feel like there are opportunities within this that, again, don't erase history, but still allow for people to move forward in their lives without having this potentially come up every time they are Googled.
You know, one of the things we bring up is like, what if you were a young child who was in an Amber Alert or a teenager, right? We're reporting more and more now when children are critically missing in our communities. Sometimes those are teenagers who unfortunately may run away. Do you want that to be something that every time you go up, someone could say, you were missing in 2024. Yeah. What happened to you? What were you doing? Those types of things.
Well, and I want to be sensitive because this is a private process. So for people who submit a request, we don't tell everybody what we're doing here. So one of the criteria that we will consider for removal is stories and photos that involve embarrassing non-criminal behavior. So I can think of one example where it was absolutely that embarrassing non-criminal behavior by a high school student that we reported on. That request came to us. I don't know if you know the one I'm referring to without getting too specific, but
it was a dumb kid thing.
Okay. Yeah, really dumb. I believe we ultimately did not take that one down because it was so stupid, for lack of a better term, so newsworthy, and the impact was great. So I do have a little bit of context here.
So you mean it affected other people in addition to just the individual involved?
we wanted to know how they had changed. Mm-hmm. What could they specifically give us documentation-wise to show that they had changed and it wasn't just, I'm trying to get this erased so that I can do this?
I think if it was, Libby, just an impact to themselves or their reputation, maybe we would have considered it, but it was far reaching beyond just themselves. So it was, I believe, I'm purposely not involved in the decision process. I'll be more on the front end. Does this meet the criteria? If that is the case, then it goes on to the EDI committee, and I think it's a good policy to have the news director be hands-off. A little bit of context here. We've got 25 total submissions in the 2 years we've been doing this. So to my earlier point, one a month, essentially. Mm-hmm. 17 were determined to be legitimate. In other words, they met the criteria that we laid out on the website in terms of what we would consider. Of those 17, three were removed completely. Three web stories were removed.
Now, when you say removed completely, how do you wipe that from
anything
from
external?
The
so that okay. For digital, there's essentially an archiving process where it's no longer discoverable through like a Google search or anything that would be public facing, but we still have access to it in our own internal mm-hmm. systems. It's archived. For all intents and purposes, for the public, it's deleted, but it's still in our systems. Mm-hmm. So of those 17, since we started moving forward, three removed completely, two cases where we removed a name from a web story. That could be the example that we highlighted earlier, where somebody was asked to comment on President Trump or President Biden, and they decided they no longer wanted to be quoted in that story. So that's an example of those.
The story remains, so just the names are deleted.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perhaps their quote and their name. And then one case where we unpublished a YouTube video. So yeah, we've got a lot of different platforms. We've got our own, obviously owned and operated website, tmj4.com, but we also have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook page. We have an X account. We have an Instagram account. So
are those necessarily things that have been broadcast, or are those exclusive sometimes to the YouTube channel
broadcast
or to your?
Both.
Okay.
We have some that is unique and distinct to digital, and some that is a carryover from what we broadcast. So it's a little bit of both.
I would imagine when the answer is yes, we're removing it, you get a lot of thank yous and hugs, and we appreciate it. What happens in those few cases when you say, sorry, can't do it?
I don't know, because I just refer the answer back over to the deputy who
I think just, you know, for the most part, Libby, they appreciate that we have a process, that we're listening and we're not just dismissing mm-hmm. their request out of hand. That's they hopefully know that it did go through a process, and ultimately, even though it didn't go in their favor, it was given the appropriate amount of attention. So I think in that case, I personally am not aware of anybody who was incredibly upset at our decision. I think they appreciate that there's some thought and some intentionality around this process, at least at TMJ4.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
It feeds into certain stereotypes that exist in society, and we made a decision several years ago to not feed into those stereotypes, and the mugshots were not additive to the story.
TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher talk about covering news with empathy and compassion.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Let's return to our conversation with TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Vetcher. I think it's interesting that you said you still keep it. You may not have it on a digital platform any longer, but you still have it in your archives. As you said, through the years, you get requests for documentaries, and maybe you look back at somebody. If an individual involved in one of these stories that you've removed would at a later date be involved either in a big story or perhaps run for office, become a public figure, would you then feel it would be fair to go back into those archives and maybe use those stories?
It's an interesting scenario that I don't know that I've fully played out in my head. It has not come up, but I think that is one of the reasons why we don't delete it completely, because if there were to come a scenario where we would be potentially reporting on this person again, that information would be helpful. Now, whether we would use it or not, I don't want to commit myself one way or the other to that, but I think anytime we make a decision, a hiring decision, an editorial decision, we want as much information as possible to make the best decision possible, right? So having that information still internally, even though, again, publicly it's been quote-unquote deleted, is, again, more information that will help us make decisions. So am I going to sit here and tell you that we wouldn't use that information? No, but I'm not going to say that we would either. But at a bare minimum, we have access to it, so it doesn't get deleted completely. It's just deleted from any public-facing TMJ4 platform.
I think anybody who's ever been involved in a story that maybe doesn't put them in the most positive light. And when they turn on the TV and they see it, and their family sees it, and their children see it, and their friends and the people they went to school with, there's nothing worse than that sickly feeling that they have as they're watching that and knowing that whatever it is or they are suspected of doing or involved with is out there for everyone to see. As a reporter, Shannon, when you see stories like that, are you thinking about the individual or are you just thinking of the story?
Well, I think it depends on what we're talking about. And my job is to not only cover the story, but also give context to the information where I can. But if you talk about someone who's done something that is irresponsible and now they feel remorse for it, I don't know how I play a role in that because, again, it depends on the story and the situation.
Let's say you have a politician.
Okay.
And they were involved in something salacious.
Okay.
And you have to report on it. It's part of a story. It's come forward that there's now pressure for this person to resign. Do you ever think about what they and their family might be going through seeing something like that so public when you're reporting on those stories?
Would I have empathy for the person who's having to bear the burden of what that politician had to do and it's impacting his or her family? Yes. At the end of the day, I wouldn't be human if I didn't say that. But how does that play a role in me covering what the politician did and how it impacted however that politician would make decisions that impact the entire community is different.
And Tim, I assume you agree with that.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about is how moving forward fits into just an overall strategic plan, I guess, if you will, and just reporting with empathy and compassion. Certainly, I would put moving forward as part of that. But, you know, we also have other policies, like I think TMJ4 is fairly unique in this, at least in the Milwaukee market, that we do not show mugshots for most cases that we report on.
Why not?
Well, I think when you are using mugshots repeatedly, it feeds into certain stereotypes that exist in society. And we made a decision several years ago, not too far removed from when Moving Forward was formed, to not feed into those stereotypes and that the mugshots were not additive to the story. If you were to show me a picture of a person, if I didn't know that person, I don't know that I would know the picture you're telling me is any different from another photo you might show me. So they weren't additive. In fact, they were additive to things we didn't want them to be added to, like fueling stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to Moving Forward, it's not a blanket, we never use a mugshot, just like we will never say we're going to remove every single story. But for the most part, we don't use mugshots when we have access to them. Now, if that person is wanted and still at large, that's a scenario where we would use them. But the second that they are taken into custody, again, not saying this is universal, but for the most part, that mugshot is no longer used on our platform. This conversation is focused on Moving Forward, but I think it's just one aspect of how we as journalists do what we do at TMJ4, and certainly empathy, compassion is at the forefront of everything we do every single day.
Intentionality and integrity is also a part of what we do. So I think that it's important that, as Tim says, you know, we are making decisions because we know humans are impacted by what they see, what they hear, and how they feel. And certain images can have an impact and lead down roads that, again, feed into stereotypes. And I think that it's important as journalists, we are educated and we know that those things are present, that we shouldn't play a role in perpetuating stereotypes as well as leading the viewer. Our job is never to lead a viewer down to an opinion that we want. It is to show and to be objective all of the facts and let them decide. But we also have to be very cognizant that what we show and who we speak to, and if we don't speak to enough voices, we also can play a role in implicit biases, in stereotypes, and things that are not productive to society. And I think journalism is very important to society, and our jobs as journalists to provide that information to viewers as well as to keep people accountable are things that I'm sure you as a journalist also respect and hold with a certain sense of code of conduct and integrity.
Shannon Sims, Tim Boettcher from TMJ4. Can't thank you enough for explaining how you move forward at the station.
Thank you.
Thanks, Libby.
We've been talking with TMJ4 anchor Shannon Sims and news director Tim Boettcher about their initiative to move forward, helping people who have been in the news sometime in the past, well, put that behind them. Now, if you joined us late, and you want to hear our entire conversation with Shannon and Tim, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.